This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're here for another one of the Concerns series. I have to almost use air quotes on this one because this is just the perfect start or the perfect finishing episode for this series to like tie a bow on it. Joining me to do this is Jim Zipcoat, and I'm going to let him tell you what the topic is.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
Life's good, Jim. How about you?
Oh, great. So you asked me, you kind of pinged me offline. You asked me if I had any concerns about this season, and I said, not really on the field. I think that this is a great team and a great coaching staff, but I'm concerned that we're not going to enjoy this season.
As fans, we're not going to enjoy it.
Yes, as fans, right? Because our expectations for this team and really our requirements for this organization are so high that we haven't been able to enjoy wins. I feel like that no victory this season is going to come with enough style points for us to really think, yeah, that was a good performance. I think that we're going to be on the edge of our seat and even disappointed by close wins, and God help us, with the occasional loss that comes around. I think that the season might be one of the least enjoyable in recent years.
Now, we're all for learning an additional vocabulary word when we can, but I learned something new when I was doing a little bit of prep for this episode. There is a word for fear of failure. It's atychophobia. And, I believe we have this as a group right now. So if you're in range of my voice and you have concerns about this team as good as it is, I think we really, atychophobia is probably the correct word for it.
I wish that I had invested some time to look up the word for failure to smell the roses.
Oh, you can do that while we have time, because I'm going to give them the 17 different concerns I got in 10 minutes on Twitter about the Baltimore Ravens. And you're going to think some of these are ridiculous. Okay, number one was Harbaugh. A number of people said that, by the way. Number two, weak side linebacker. Not enough takeaways. Cornerback three. Health and injury history of the cornerbacks. The Isaiah Likely injury. Wide receiver three. The defensive line after Pierce. Defensive backs locating and tracking the football. Early season tiebreaker results. Running back rotation. Running back rotation. Really, you got a problem with this running back rotation? I'm sorry. I'll continue on. Safety rotation, guard spots, Lamar in big games, the offensive line getting bullied, rookie kicker, and probably my favorite, a lack of commitment to Mike Green. Because we all know exactly what the commitment level is to Mike Green and what it should be.
And what it should be.
Yes. And we can't imagine that the Ravens are possibly going to follow through on that. And I think atychophobia is the perfect number 18. I think it ties a bow on this series in terms of the potential problems for this season for Ravens fans. And you said it earlier, every win is going to feel like a tie because it was expected. Every loss is going to feel like we just had the two
the
internal
Titanic
organs
sinking.
Ripped out.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And, especially the first batch of the season, the first five or six games where we're playing three of the four participants in the conference championship games in Detroit and Buffalo in Kansas City. Like, I don't care if you win any one of those games by a final score of 3-2. Like, mm-hmm. that is an outstanding, any one of those wins would be outstanding. God help us. If you get three, you know, but here's how Ravens fans are. We, you know, let's say we win one of those games 17-14. And I don't mean to tar other Ravens fans as if I don't have this problem. I feel exactly the same way. Okay. You guys, you know, like say we beat Detroit 17-14. Well, we really didn't take advantage of the offensive opportunities we have. They've got to do a better job of getting turnovers. That game should never have been that close, especially Harbaugh's clock management to close the first half. We should have come away with a field goal rather than just using up, you know, the clock and not letting the Lions have the ball back. I mean, there's just no way we're going to be able to beat Kansas City with an effort like we showed like against
that.
Detroit.
And don't we hear that every year? Not going to get it done in the playoffs.
Yes.
That's not going to get it done. As if the people who typically say that really know what's going to win in the playoffs. As if they really know. It is something that I'm fairly continually bothered by when I hear that statement made, is mm-hmm. that's not going to get it done in the playoffs.
We don't know what's going to get it done in the playoffs.
Of course we don't.
The Mile High Miracle game, the Ravens gave up 2 return touchdowns. Mm-hmm. You never win when you give up.
That's not going to do it in the playoffs.
No, absolutely not.
And you know, they blew, what, 2 different leads? Came back to tie a couple different times too. So
yeah.
It's just a lot of things you could say about this, but there are certain things that kind of get me going, and it sometimes leads to less engagement, honestly, on Twitter, is that I hear things like that and I don't feel like responding because I know I'll say something nasty in terms of the response. So,
yes.
But I think this is a legitimate concern for Ravens fans. I mean, can you take a moment to understand just how fortunate with this, you know, the old Harbaugh saying of who's got it better than us, it couldn't be more appropriate than this year. The Ravens may not win the Super Bowl. We better be able to enjoy this football season for what
exactly,
it is. We got a franchise quarterback. Somebody asked me, Jonah Schaefer asked me today to say, what unit is the weakest on the team and what unit is the strongest on the team? And first of all, what unit is the strongest on the team? After quarterback, I'm not even sure.
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even sure what it is. The wide receivers are good. The tight ends are very good. The offensive line is okay. Maybe it just a step behind. I really think the defensive line is going to be good. Some people say the inside linebackers are bad. I think it's a very deep and talented group from what I've seen. And even there's 5th and 6th guys are good. The outside cornerbacks, well, there's some health possibilities there, but I think it's generally a good group.
It's probably the top 3 group in the league, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so it'd be just
keep going.
We went through almost all 11.
Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah, I mean, and you have, you know, Malachi Starks. You have a first round draft pick back there.
Yep.
Even the specialists, I think we have a chance to be better than the Ravens have been the last 3 years with Tucker kind of in decline. I think mm-hmm. Luke might take them to new heights. So he probably won't be the Tucker of early career or of mid career.
Right,
but he'd probably be better than the Tucker of late career is what I would hope for.
So you're saying that the kicker might not be the greatest kicker of all
of all time. Yes,
that is a profound concern, I think, for any team, that we might not have the greatest of all time in every single position group.
It's one of the things where we have to apply a larger, you know, a more magnification to our microscope for this team to find these minute flaws that honestly they built an unbelievably deep and talented team. And it could all unravel with injuries.
Absolutely.
That's all, you know, but injuries, they're not an actionable problem, right?
I would say injuries have a huge randomness component. Mm-hmm. And to the extent that they do have an actionable component, Harbaugh and company have clearly been taking actions in those areas. Like they swapped out the guy who was trying to kill the players, you know, maybe too late, but they did it. I know that they invest a ton of time into, like, if you watched the in-season Hard Knocks last year, there was a practice and a guy with an Australian accent came up to Harbaugh at the end of practice with a tablet and showed it to him. And he says, you're going to be really pleased with the speed numbers. And so they're tracking the speed numbers of all of the players as an indicator of, you know, whether they've had enough sufficient rest, you know, whether the team as a whole is bouncing back, you know, in time for the game. You know, like they're doing what they can to, you know, for preparation and recovery and performance. And, you know, it'll work or it won't, but, you know, they're doing what can be done.
Yeah, I agree with that. And if this is a team, by the way, if there was news of a new way to spend money to try and avoid injuries, they would be over it. They would be all over it. So, you know, I hope that those systems come along someday, which are really useful predictors of that and can help you get players out of games and out of practice, you know, when they might be putting themselves at risk. But you know, I think they've done a fine job of trying to deal with what they have. They're very cautious with players, particularly during camp making them sit out additional time.
I would have called it conservative. Yeah, they do not rush guys back from injury to a point where we have gotten frustrated in season. You know, why wasn't he, you know, back 2 weeks ago? He said he was fine, full participation.
Right.
Harbs is conservative in a bad and a good way. And I would say that's a good way. Requires a lot of self-discipline, you know, in any particular game to, you know, leave Kyle Hamilton, let's say, on the bench when he's, you know, 85% and saying, put me in, coach.
Yep.
But, you know, that's a long-term, that's a good thing.
Yeah. So, you know, as fans, do you have any relaxation technique? You've pointed out this very central concern for the 2025 season. What would you recommend? How can you make that actionable for us?
Don't know, but I have a personal story to tell.
Sure.
And I've been trying to look up what week it came from because I wrote a column about this. But we had a death in the family a few years ago. And we had a memorial service on like Saturday. And then the next day there was a Ravens game. And my stepdaughter had moved out by this time, but she came over like half an hour early and she sat in the living room to watch the Ravens game. And I did want to look up which game it was because it was one of those topsy-turvy, crazy games with like turnovers and then like a reverse turnover. And like we lost the lead and then we took the lead back. And so it's one of those games where you're sitting in the living room screaming, you know, at the TV, like, ah! And, and you know, they talk... The essence of a football season for us fans is that, you know, those 3 hours that you are screaming at the TV and you are living and dying with every possession. And, oh, did he catch the ball? Oh, damn it, he dropped it. Oh, wait, he did catch it. And it's overturned.
They're gonna challenge that.
They're exactly. And, you know, that's where the fun is. And so I had written a column that week for RSR, and I just wanted to say, you know, let's, you know, with the philosophy of that weekend, you know, I want to, you know, because that time, like my stepdaughter hadn't been watching, coming over on Sunday to watch football games. She came over that day and she didn't talk about why she came over, but she was clearly just to, you know, sit with me and watch the football game. And it was precious and wonderful. And thank God we won. But to me, that's where I take my, that's the remembrance of that day is what I try to take back when we have an exciting game.
Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's changing the game, Mood.com. They created an entirely line of functional gummies, 100% federally legal THC blends, discreetly delivered right to your doorstep. And here's the best part. You can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with the promo code RAVENS. Now, I've tried a bunch of their gummies myself. Each one's totally unique. The Sleepy Time gummies knock me out right away. They help me unwind fast, leave me refreshed the next morning. The Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for when your day just isn't going the way you want it to go. What makes Mood special is how they pair the THC with natural herbs and adaptogens. You won't find blends like this at any local shop. They've got gummies designed for focus, relaxation, clarity, even energy, all made from cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no shortcuts, just high-quality weed you can trust. Plus, Mood backs everything with a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. So head on over to mood.com, check out their amazing selection, and don't forget to use the promo code Ravens at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
A game that's a little too exciting, you know, that's what we're watching for, you know.
Mm-hmm. It definitely does give us that adrenaline boost to watch the game as we're doing it. I'm going to tell a little different story, but it's along the same lines. Maureen and I always watch football together. It's something we've always done, and we have season tickets for baseball and whatnot as well. But what we do for baseball when the Orioles are on the road is I'm usually in my office watching the game. And I say, you know, hon, you want to come in and watch the game with me? We got a close one here. And she'll say very often, no, I'll just stay in here and watch my show. I'll be able to tell from your screams if they won or not. And she's 100% right. I mean, I get very upset as the game's going on. And
my wife, Sarah, does not watch the second half of games with me.
Same reason?
I believe she doesn't talk about it, but I believe when we're stomping the other team, she does. But if it's like a Steelers game, she'll watch the first half with me. And then she'd be like, oh, I got to go upstairs and do. And I'm sure she's tracking from the screams, but she does. It's a little too tense to be in the room, I think.
There's a lot of profanity that streams out at the screen. And I take that as just being part of it, being a normal sports fan, period.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So, all right. So,
can we talk about some recent fun seasons?
Sure.
So for me, the most, I'm sure this is true for the whole fan base, right? The most fun regular season, certainly in recent years, and maybe ever for me, was the 2019 season when Lamar won his first MVP. And one of the characteristics of that season is we did not go into it with high expectations. You know, we had a rookie, or not a rookie, but a quarterback entering his first full season as the starter. Mm-hmm. He had shown some, let's say, inconsistencies with mechanics, you know, the prior season. And by inconsistencies, I mean that a full half of the fan base was saying, this guy can't throw the damn football and he should not be our quarterback. Yeah. We had a new offense coordinator and an overhauled play calling system that they talked a lot about during that offseason. And so we didn't expect much.
And there was more, because on the defensive side of the ball, they basically let a whole bunch of people from 2018 walk. The only guy they got back was Earl Thomas, which turned out to be one of the big failures of all time. And yet they were able to rebuild that defense on the fly during the season.
Yes.
To support an offense, which was the historic best in Ravens history.
Yep. So Lamar announced himself with, 55 points in week one. And every week, so, you know, a lot of people forget that, you know, the close game against the Cardinals and the loss against Cleveland, and then they rebuilt the inside linebacker room. If I feel like they like just outright cut two starters and signed guys off the street. And then it turned into a romp, you know, the 12 game winning streak, just the most exciting and out of nowhere, like a lightning bolt, you know, season. And it was, I mean, it was delightful, right? I mean, if you can remember back over the awful hump of the Tennessee loss in that year's playoffs, if you remember the regular season, like, have you ever had more fun than that in a regular season?
I mean, you know, the times are low expectation times. So the 2000 team, I actually had a lot of expectations for them going into the year, but they completely surpassed anything I could hope for. And then the next season I really remember that they really beat expectations a lot was 2006, when very similar to 2019 in a lot of ways, that the first round playoff exit at home against the Colts. I mean, just it doesn't get any worse than that. I mean, that day, those 2 days, probably the worst two football days I've ever had in a lifetime. And then
which you said 2 days?
Yeah, the 2006 and 19 playoff losses.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, so they were absolutely horrible. We got very, very spoiled during the 2008 to 2012 era. 2008, by the way, another big surprise. You know,
yes.
we didn't know what we had in Joe Flacco. We didn't know who Ray Rice would become.
Right.
And those were the first two draft picks the Ravens had that year. And
Joe Flacco started out camp as wide receiver three, you know, like was it Kyle Bowler got mono, or was it the other guy who got mono? And
That sounds like a Kyle Bowler thing, but yeah, it might have been. There was a sickness involved in Troy Smith.
Yes,
and they did expect, you know, Flacco to take the reins, but then circumstances conspired to make him the quarterback right away. And there was no turning back as soon as he won that very first game against Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry. That Cincinnati game is a very fond memory for me because there was a moment in that game where I knew that we had not drafted Kyle Bowler 2.0. You know, I knew that Joe could play. Mm-hmm. And it was a play where the play broke down. Lamar dropped back. The play broke down, and he was under duress. And I can't believe that I'm blanking on the name of the greatest tight end in Ravens history before. Todd Heap was very close to Joe, but he was behind the pass rusher. And Heap turned and presented his hands to Joe, like, here, throw me the ball quick. And Joe looked at him, and he was too close to throw the ball to, honestly. And Joe rolled away from him. And
created space.
Created space. But in Heap's body language, you could see a giant question mark over his head going like, bah! And Flacco rolls away from him with the defender in chase, creates space, then turns back and lofts it to him. It's a beautiful basketball play. And with the space created, Heap catches it and he gains positive yardage from a broken play. And I thought to myself, you know, spatial awareness, game awareness, you know, like this guy has it. And to get like a reassuring sense in that very first game, you know, he's a rookie. I doubt that he completed 50% of his passes in that game, but you look for flashes or indications, and he showed me that. And I'm like, boom, we got a guy.
Yeah, that was a very, very exciting game to see him. You know, he ran for a touchdown.
Yes, he did.
I think that was the longest run of his career in that first, very first game he played. It was wonderful to see. But
so the fun seasons are the surprises, the ones that come out of nowhere. And this season is exactly the opposite. This is the most high tension, pressure ratcheted. You know, if they can't win it this year, then they can't win it at all. Blow up the ship. Like, I don't believe that, but no victory is going to be strong enough in the regular season for us to enjoy and relax and have fun with and be like, yeah, we're good. This is great. I love watching football.
Yeah. I they could go on an early season run and go, you know, 5-1 or something and be in really good position for the one seed. And then we'd be thinking, yeah, this might be the year. If they go 4-2, I mean, it'll be good if that happens because, hey, this is a very tough early season schedule. Yes. A lot of it's on the road. And if they ended up going 4-2, I think we still might be, we were expected to do that. What are you talking about? Kind of thing.
Right.
The Ravens have had a lot of success against winning teams lately, but this does not happen every year, folks. It does not happen.
The team is good. I mean, like, look around the division if you want to see what, you know, the rest of the world, you know, what regular life is like for most teams.
So I have a friend, my college broadcasting partner, who says the Ravens problems are first world problems.
My wife uses that term also.
This is a, yeah.
My stepdaughter uses the term white girl problems.
Girl problems.
Yeah. Okay. She says like Starbucks didn't put the right amount of ice in my latte or something like that. the same theory. You know?
I think I can understand that. Yes.
So you mentioned some possible records. I'm going to tell you right now. Well, I want to mention parenthetically that Rams matchup is kind of hidden in there, and that's going to be a really tough game. We all have profound respect for McVay. You know, he can game plan like nobody's business. We beat them last time, and I think it was an overtime game. I think that's, you know, among the conference championship game participants, that game is, I wouldn't call it a trap game, but that's definitely a potential gotcha.
Okay.
Unpotentially
gotten by the Rams the last time when Tylan Wallace bailed him out in overtime.
Yep. But you mentioned, you know, 5-1, 4-2. I'm going to give you another scenario. If we go 6-0, I'm going to be talking bandwagon 17-0. And I'm not going to shut up about it.
Okay. Well, I think that there might be a few people there with you because it would be an amazing run if they beat all these teams and have that sort of a start. It'd be quite an accomplishment for everybody involved in the organization if they get that done.
If they go 3-3, 2-4 to open the season, then the stance I'm going to take, you know, assuming that there's no, you know, injuries or long-term, you know, players going to miss time or whatever, the stance I'm going to try to take is, oh, good, they'll be battle-tested.
Okay. Well, you heard it here from Jim. is start worrying about running back three, start worrying about the running back rotation,
right,
and the commitment level for Mike Green, and then you might be able to figure it out. We do have somebody actually coming on to talk about the running back room, and he's got a concern about it. I wait for that with bated breath. Is all I can say. I'm really looking forward to hear what he has to say.
There's Keaton Mitchell coming off injury still, yep. Justice Hill is, not Jim Brown. He's good, but so maybe there's something to it. No. I'm just going to, I know we're wrapping up. I want to say that I implore Ravens fans to try to smell the roses this season. We've got a quarterback coming off an MVP season. Don't talk to me about Josh Allen. We've got this should be some of the best football you ever see from this organization. And 29 to 30 team fan bases would kill to be able to watch football like we're going to have the chance to watch this year, no matter how the records fall.
Right. And same 30 or 31 fan bases are rooting for the Ravens to suffer horrible injuries that will, yeah, keep them from being the team they might be. And that really, that tells you a lot about just how successful and how built up this franchise is right now. All right, Jim, always a pleasure talking football with you. Tell people where they can talk football with you online.
Well, I'm on Blue Sky and Twitter, and I have started a Substack this offseason called Zip Drive and Dish. So if you just Google Zip Drive and Dish Substack, you'll find my writings about the Ravens. Nothing since training camp started, but there'll be a weekly piece on the Ravens pass catchers after every game, and more musings, as the spirit prompts.
All right. Outstanding. Other folks out there, if you want to be on the Concern Series, there's still time. Hit me up with a DM on Twitter. I'll try and get you in before the opener. If not, if you just have some other topic you want to discuss in season, a film study short is the place for you. And all you have to be is passionate about it, and we'll have a fun little discussion about it. And hopefully that'll be entertaining. Jim, thanks again for joining me.
Ken, thanks so much for the invite. I love coming on here and talk football with you.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.